What's up, everybody? Eric here, coming at you live from my bedroom in Bull Heights. There was a little snafu today with the schedules over at Radio Espacio. I thought I had a certain time, and then I talked to Nico, and then he enlightened me that it's actually a different time. So, you know, rolling with the punches here. Right, Memo?
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't mind driving all over Boyle Heights to get a podcast done.
So, yeah, the plan was to record at Espacio, but that won't be until December because I only have it once a month. But it works out. Now I have clarification of my time slot, so, you know, just moving forward with it.
You know what? I fucked up, dude. I forgot to get the shirts. Yeah, he has a lot of cool shirts there, man. I was like, man, I need to stock up. I was about at least four or five I wanted to grab. I might have to go back.
That's a good reason to go back, yeah. Yeah, maybe. Well, I don't know if you want to do it today, but I was going to say maybe you would want to do it with your kids.
Ah, there you go.
It's a cool space.
I do. My daughter would love half of that shit they have in there.
Yeah, it's very specific. I've outgrown my concha phase. My Frida and everything phase. But some people are, you know, they're just getting into that, so that's cool.
Anyways, by the way, I'm Memo. Mister forgot to introduce me.
I did. We're having, this is the brewery Orchata. Orchata with an X.
Orchata.
So we're, you know, just here listening to some reggae, having some drinks.
Cheers, fool.
Salud. But yes, after a 2-month hiatus of life happening, I'm back on my bullshit. And today's guest is none other than Memo Torres of the internet. I don't know what you're claiming.
I don't know, just Memo Torres.
But that's short for Guillermo, right?
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Spanish for William, as my English teacher always reminded me.
Wow. Yeah. They would anglicize your name.
Yeah, she was always like, but she didn't do it like to fuck up, like in a, you know, in a racist way. She was just a huge William Shakespeare fan. And would say how, like, you know, she's been to his grave, even. And
in Europe and all this? Wow.
And on his grave it says Guillermo Shakespeare. Which is a cool fact.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. So she would always, you know, she'd always be like, William, it's Memo.
But, yes, I asked Memo to come on, like, because I was just telling him right now as we were having lunch. He has, a really cool, like, journey that he's been on these last couple of months.
It's been an odyssey, man.
Where I thought it was actually you were doing this since last year, but you've been doing this since February, where Memo, like other folks I've had on before, Cesar, Daniel, Javier, the Gluster, from LA Taco, Memo is part of Team Taco. He's a taquero. And I would say you have an official title, but you're like the face of Taco right now, too. Because most folks, sometimes members and like vendors and like other food folks, are you, their first interaction is almost usually with you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it just kind of happened by default. I'm the most mobile one of everybody. I'm out and about all day long. So
you're not tied down to a desk.
Exactly. So because of that, so happens it frees up the time for me to do the videos, to meet new people, to do these events, to meet new taqueros.
Yeah, you have a lot more flexible time because I'm also assuming you're responsible with your time. So you know how to manage it better.
I am very responsible about the tacos I have during my time, yes.
So, but Memo, basically, yeah, he came on through Daniel.
Right.
Daniel Hernandez, because y'all went to school together at Berkeley.
Yeah, Golden Bears.
What were you doing at Berkeley?
Learning how to do drugs. No.
So you were in like Oakster then?
Nah, no, actually, me and Daniel, you know, there's this period we came up in the same class. He was, at one point, he was the chief editor of the student paper, the Daily Cal.
Yeah.
I was running a couple student organizations, Rasta Recruitment and Retention Center, and Bridges, which was like the collaboration of all of them, Rasa, Black, Filipino, Southeast Asian. What am I forgetting?
You can just say API, South Asian, yeah. Pacific Islander.
They were called Reach. Anyways, so we were both doing like our, you know, we were involved as students. We just didn't go to school there. And anyways, that's how we knew each other. He moved back to L.A. and then we started hanging out again when he was back in L.A. after he left Vice in Mexico. And, yeah, he got involved with LA Taco. It's funny enough, I actually started doing my thing probably around the same time he joined LA Taco.
What's your thing?
Like, kind of like doing the food page.
Oh, no shit. Really?
Yeah.
I thought that was already your, like, you, because when I met you, you already had that Instagram handle, El Dragon.
Yeah, I changed then, it. Like, what had happened is that, like, I started posting more about food on my Instagram.
Because I went through it, and I would say... You can see there's, like, my life. You can see, like, the big transition from, like, you know, your everyday, you know, family photos. I'm here at this place, a photo, and a casual, like, oh, I'm eating this photo, to when it was, like, almost nonstop food.
Yeah. Well, people kind of pushed me, like, my friends. They were all like, hey, dude, like... Because it was already a hobby to go around, try out places.
You mean eat food?
Eat food.
Like a normal person?
Like a normal person, yeah. But like my own general, like my daytime, like alter ego, as I like to think of it. And what I do during the day as a contractor, I'm always driving around.
Mm-hmm. So, you're always going around different places, yeah.
So, you know, like it was a hobby already. So just kind of everything just, like this, all the chips felt, you know, nicely stacked.
I didn't know that, huh? Like from what I saw, I thought it was just like you met up with Daniel and then it turned into this, not that you already.
It was like a little private hobby I had. It's just, I never liked to post pictures before, ironically. Like,
why, were you on Yelp?
I did a little bit of Yelp, not too much. I don't really like the Yelp. Everybody just is stupid.
Writing a fucking essay.
Oh my God. Your door was heavy opening. 2 out of 5.
So I don't normally do this, but this place is amazing. 5 stars.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, but like, you know, all my friends, I would always take them out to eat. I always be like, hey, there's a spot over here. Let's go check this out. I know
you're that person.
Yeah. So my friends were always like, dude, you should fucking do a food page. Like, you should just start doing it. Like, just fucking do something. Like, do a YouTube video.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know,
enough people, like, you know, giving you positive encouragement.
Yeah, so they started nudging me. So that's when I kind of rebranded, as Daniel likes to put it, you know, and call myself El Dragon.
What was your Instagram handle before?
I think it was Short Message. Short Message or Memo Nation, one of the two, or both. Memo Nation. Memo Nation was a nickname somebody in Cal gave me. Short Message was the nickname I got in Barbados by this little girl in Barbados. She was like, what's your name? I'm like, Memo. Memo? Like a short message.
Like a memo.
Yeah. And it was in the cafeteria, and the whole cafeteria heard. She yelled it out, and somebody in the way in the back yelled out, short message! Ah! So that stuck.
Wow.
So it was that.
That's hilarious, because, yeah, you know, I think Memo, I was like, oh, yeah, short for Guillermo.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't think too much about it, unless I'm trying to make fun of you and find something to make fun of you for. But,
yeah, that's basically what happened, man. Huh. And I started doing it, and honestly, I don't think I would have had, like, the success I've had. I considered it a success, but because of LA Taco, man. LA Taco freaking opened up a door for me.
Give you that platform.
Yeah. Okay. So, it's a little stressful because you got to have to back it up too, you know. I've been to some places, I'm just like, yeah, I can't post this.
Well, I mean, since before we get into the whole LA Taco thing and what you're doing now, do you want to share a little bit of where you grew up?
I grew up on the west side. Grew up in Inglewood. Inglewood and then to Culver City. So back and forth. My grandma lived in Culver City all the time. We lived in Inglewood. We eventually moved to, like, Mar Vista, which is right by Culver City. And we did a stint in Canyon Country.
What's like, Canyon Country?
Canyon Country is way the fuck out there. It's up the 14th. It's past, like, if Valencia's on the 5, Canyon Country is level with that, but on the 14th. Going to Palmdale.
Dang.
Yeah. And that was a trip, dude. I was the only Mexican kid there.
How long was that, like, stint?
Fourth, fifth, and sixth grade.
Oh, wow. That's a good number of years. Yeah.
That was a trip. Nobody liked me there.
Because you were taller?
No, because I was fucking Mexican, dude. They were racist as fuck.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
When was this?
This was, let's see, I want to say...
Aged yourself.
89, 90,
91. Oh, yeah, I can see 92. That. I can see that.
Yeah. Randall Town. Yeah, dude, that shit was tough. I got bullied all the time.
Dang. Yeah. For what, like, just like the...
This one teacher one time, this fucking bitch, she lived across the street from us, too. She fucking didn't like us. And I remember she gave me a math test back, and it was like a C-. She's like, nah, that's pretty good for your people.
I was like,
fuck you, bitch. This was sixth grade.
We were pretty good for one of those.
I was like, fuck you.
Dang.
This is Haley. That's what I remember. Hey, it's Haley if you're listening to...
Randomly.
Fuck you.
Where did you end up in high school?
I ended up in... actually, so when we moved back... We moved back to Inglewood. We were in Inglewood Canyon Country, back to Inglewood. And my mom was like, fuck that. This fool ain't going to Inglewood High. I mean, that's back when you had... what the fuck was that fool? Tukey. Remember Tukey?
Tukey Williams?
Yeah, the fool was just shooting up fucking high school, elementary schools and schools and shit.
I was 7 at that time, or 8.
Yeah, you're a little younger than me. I'm a little older. But yeah, that fool Tukey Williams was happening. The school system was shit. My mom's like, fuck that. We're putting them into St. Gerard. She actually went to St. Gerard.
Oh.
Yeah, so my dad's from Zacatecas, and my mom's from Culver City. She grew up here. So I'm 1.5 generation.
Nice.
But, yeah, I went to St. George Magilla for 2 years, and then from there I got into Loyola High School. So I went from, like, public school in Inglewood, Villa Payne Elementary, to Pine Tree Crest in Canyon Country, to a Catholic school, and then an all-boys school.
Oh, so the all-boys school was the last 2 years?
No, it was all high school.
Oh, all of high school.
Yeah, Loyola High School. And Loyola High School
was
like...
I didn't know it was all-boys.
Nah. It is all boy.
The only one I mean, obviously, because it's in Bull Heights, is Salesian. And that's because...
Yeah, like, so they were like one of our, I guess, brother, sister schools, whatever you call it.
Oh.
We played football against them, so... I didn't play football, but their school did.
That basketball. That was like the cross-town rivalry.
Yeah, them, Cathedral, which is right up here.
So my only understanding of Catholic all-boys school is the Basketball Diaries. With DiCaprio.
Yeah, we did a lot of meth.
Wrote a lot of poetry.
Yep. While playing basketball.
Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg.
There you go. Oh, he was in that shit
too? He was in that shit too. Oh,
shit. Dude, I haven't seen that since I was a kid.
I'll watch it in a hotel room.
I was at St. Gerard's when I saw that movie, I think. I want to say.
Because the last time I watched it was like somebody making reference to... One of the scenes in the movie where DiCaprio is having like a dream of going into the school, black leather trench coat, and like shooting up the place. Mm. And I was reading an article about like school shootings and the history of them, and how when Columbine happened back in the day, they were like pointing to that movie specifically, along with like Marilyn Manson and other shit, about like this is where they get the ideas to do that. Trench coat mafia and all this other shit. It's like, you know, white boys and like they're all shooting up schools.
Yeah, it's like the same argument, you know, video games. They're getting it from video games.
I'm so violent.
Yeah. Can't get off my chair to go get a Mountain Dew.
It's a code red Mountain Dew. Well, so how was it for you? Because I've heard some stories where, like, I don't know if this was the policy for yours. But I remember somebody telling me their experience was, like, if you went to school and you didn't shave, they would make you shave on the spot, like, dry. Yeah.
I don't know about dry, but they'd send you to the bathroom to go shave.
No, he told me, like, it was like a form of punishment. Like,
I don't know. Maybe
straight razor, you shave dry.
Nah, but Loyola was pretty strict. We had one, but, like, come on, nobody's really into that, having that problem until you're, like, in senior year, maybe junior year.
I don't know, man. I knew some fools in high school with the mustache.
But yeah, it was pretty strict like that. But the thing is, like, it was pretty chill because everybody wore the same fucking clothes all week. We all stunk. Yeah. Nobody gave a fuck, right?
That's like, who you're trying to impress.
Yeah, nobody. So it was chill as hell. And it was cool, man. It was actually cool. Opened up a lot of opportunities. I don't regret it one bit.
Nice.
Yeah. It was a very great experience. I highly recommend Loyola. Only thing is, you know, it's just shit's getting expensive now. My dad was paying 4 G's. They're like at 20 right now.
It's been, cost of living's gone up, so yeah. Education.
Even that's still cheaper than the school.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know. That's where I went to high school, and from there I got into Berkeley.
Yeah, because, I mean, in that kind of school, college is not even, like, a question. Like it's you're on that road. Yeah,
it's on everybody's path. I gotta give it up to Mr. Diaz there though. That fool was he ran cross country. He was a Latino coach, teacher. He did like Historia de Mexico. He did some history classes. He did some other stuff.
Cool teacher.
Real cool teacher. Always looking out for the raza. That fool was always looking out for all the raza.
Was he telling you like, don't mess up this opportunity?
Yeah. They were like straight up fucking.
Yeah, that's some stand and deliver shit.
Yeah, right, necesitas ganas.
Those are my two favorite educational movies about.
All right, well, he was our fucking, what is
that
fool's name?
Jaime Escalante.
Yeah, he was our Escalante. He was cool. Like, so my counselor calls me in. It was like application time, right? He's like, all right, so you thought about college? I'm like, honestly, didn't really know about college. Even though I'm more of my generation, like, I didn't know about anything. I didn't know shit about college.
Nobody in your family told you.
I think my mom's sister went to college. Other than that, like, we weren't really like that close. Like, so we didn't talk much. You know, even though she was in the neighborhood. But she was always like, she was at school. I never saw her.
Yeah, put the microphone closer to you. Sorry. I know you're getting relaxed.
It's getting heavy, dude. It's getting heavy.
So what I think did you well you said you weren't into sports, but were you into anything else in like high school? I know y'all must have had like driver's ed, body shop.
No, man, I always worked.
Really?
I always had a job.
So like, you go to school?
Yeah, my dad was always like on me about like work, right? So I was like, fuck this, if I'm gonna work, so I started getting, dude, I've had so many jobs. I was a taquero at one point in high school.
Wow.
I worked at what's now called Pepe's Taco in Culver City.
So you were slicing it up.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, I always had a job. Worked at coffee shop baristas. I worked Carl's Jr.
Dang. Was your dad trying to make you pay for your own way as you went along?
No, it's just like, if I was like, I don't want to be home and just like not do shit. I wanted to work. I always kind of like had that. I don't know if it was a drive. It was just like, I just always wanted to.
You needed to be doing something. Dude, yeah,
I need to be doing something. So, yeah, I would always find some work to do on the weekends. And it was fun, dude. It was a way to get out. If I didn't get out, I'd be at home. And it just sucked. I just didn't like it. My dad was always mad because of work, so he'd always come home and fucking send me to the back to go pull weeds and shit. He would not want to see me sitting down. And I could have enjoyed a video game because he would come home and just
like, yeah, you know, I mean, like, yeah, I feel that.
Like, fuck, let me go work.
Might as well get out of here and shit. Yeah.
Plus, I wanted to buy a car.
So okay.
He helped me with my car. That was cool, though. He was, you know, he might have had his way, but he was always supportive.
So, what ended up with the college conversation? Did you have something in mind? Like, Berkeley was the first place? You...
No, so my counselor was like, looked at my grades. He's like, no, so I'm like ignorant as fuck. I'm like, he's like, so have you thought about college? I'm like, Yale, Harvard, Columbia. He looked at my grades and just laughed. Like, fuck, all right. Stupid me. He's like, nah.
Trade Tech.
Try some Cal State, you know? Try some Cal State. You might want to consider community college. And yeah, my grades, it was just a B average. You know, I was an A student.
That's good, though. I mean, shit. Yeah. It's not a C.
Yeah, it's not a C. So, just a B average. So, you're like, nah, you're not going to. Don't waste your time. Mr. Diaz was like, hey, Mico, so did you have that talk with the counselor? I'm like, he's like, yeah. He's like, what did he say? I'm like, yeah. He said, this is like, you're like, no, fuck that puto. Like, he talked like that. He was so
funny. Hey, fool, nah.
Yeah. I'm like, what do you mean, Mr. D? He's like, dude, where do you want to go? And I'm like, I don't know. He's like, look, you're going to apply to the UC system, okay? You're going to go UCLA, Santa Cruz, okay? Try a couple other schools if you want, but look, fuck it. You qualify for the fee waiver. I was low income.
Stay in state, yeah.
You qualify for the fee waiver. And what else are you going to do? Like, what do you have to lose? Are you busy? I'm like, no. He's like, what are you going to do with that time? Nothing? I'm like, no. He's like, so the only thing you have to lose is time, and you're going to waste it anyways, right? Like, yeah, he's like, then fucking apply. Fuck what that puto says. And because of that fool, I actually did get rejected by every single goddamn school. Mr. Haley was enough, but Berkeley took me in.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, wow. So you never know. So,
no, yeah. The worst thing that could happen is they just tell you no.
Yeah. So I got lucky as fuck there. And after that, I was like, all right, don't waste your opportunities, dude. You know, don't waste your opportunities.
That was like a little wake-up call.
Yeah. So after that, that's lived with me. The Mr. Diaz, that moment, that story has lived with me every day. Anytime I see a little opportunity, don't waste that opportunity. So that's kind of one of the things that drives me.
Nice. Damn, man. That's a lot. Because I can kind of see how that's influenced your life all the way up to now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what did your parents say? Because you couldn't commute. You had to live up there. So it's off to college you go.
You know, my dad and I were pretty tight. Even though, like, you know, he was strict, we were still pretty tight. But he couldn't understand. He's like, I remember it was literally like I'm packing up my car to drive up to college. He was mad. When he saw that I was going to go there, he was mad.
But he knew. It was not like he told him like the last day.
Yeah, but he wouldn't talk to me. And the day of, he shows up and it was a big fight. He's like, why the fuck do you have to go to Berkeley? Santa Monica College is right down the street.
I think he knew the difference.
Yeah, you know, like, he knew college was cool, but you understand, it was like,
you need it. Yeah, that's what you should be doing.
It's like, why are you taking the BMW? There's a Pinto right here, you know? Like, right.
Just don't make quick sudden turns.
So, yeah, we didn't talk for a couple of years. But
because you left off to college.
Yeah. So, a lot of interesting.
But then, with the opposite was your mom was like, yeah, you know, good luck, mijo.
Yeah, well, my mom was an A student in high school, and I think one of her biggest regrets was that she didn't go to college. Mm. She decided to marry my dad. So she regrets and not regrets it. You know, I don't think she's ever decided. It was like a conflict that she lived through. So that fucked with her. So she was always like living vicariously through me about college. Yeah. I'd come home, she'd be like, "Amigo, so have you smoked any weed yet?" she'd be like, close the door, right? Make sure your dad
out there? Yeah. Shut up.
Yeah, she'd be like, she was tight with me, dude. She'd always be I never smoked any weed. Like, the closest I ever got was I was walking by a car, and my friend said, "Oh, look, he has a little roach clip." She saw inside, and she's like, "Yeah, a roach clip." I had no idea what it was. I just went along with it. I was like, "Oh, yeah." You know? She's like, that was her closest experience to weed, according to her. But, yeah, she would always be like that. She's the one that kind of encouraged me to go to study abroad, too. My dad's like, ¿Qué chingados vas a hacer allá en Barbados? ¿Qué es, dónde está eso?
Man, it's free.
Yeah. And I was like, no, you're going. She fucking signed us some loans for me, and she fucking
went. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was like, fuck it, let's go.
Shit. What was the Barbados trip, then?
Barbados was...
Where you got your nickname.
Oh, yeah, that was the study abroad trip where I got my nickname short message. That's right. That's how they started. Full circle. So...
Obviously, it's, you know, study program. You go through the summer.
Yeah, you know, it's a study program and stuff. I got arrested down there. That was fun.
But what were you studying, though? Not getting arrested.
Dude, there's so many stories that happened in there. Like the time I fucking did mushrooms with my teacher. Yeah, that was fun. That fool hunted me down. That's how I met him, and he got the confidence to give me mushrooms. He was like, hey, I heard somebody brought weed from the States. I was like, yeah. Yeah, I have. He's like, you have some of that chronic? I'm like, yeah. That chronic? Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I got some chronic. The Chronic 2000 had just come out.
Wow. You know? Dang, all the way down there.
Yeah, Chronic 2000 just came out. That was the thing, chronic. I took some to Barbados.
You got some chronic.
The teacher comes in, he was this fucking white Rastafarian dude. Okay? Like, but he wasn't like white. He was like albino black.
Oh, okay. All yeah, right.
Rastafarian dude.
And, funny enough, we're playing Yellow Man.
There you go. Just like that. So, anyways, the guy's like, he brings me like half a brick of swag, like just dirt weed, in exchange for like a dub of the I had so much weed. It was ridiculous. We made a cake. You know, it was fun. Anyways.
Yeah. But what were you studying?
Oh. I don't remember. Now, we were studying the island as it was a sociology class. So we were studying the island and its colonial period and how that affects now and the current
present day. Yeah,
and all the stuff. And they only have one town and how they live off of sugar and then blah, 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 blah.
Damn.
Now, even though they...
That's a whole Netflix documentary right there.
It is. Basically, like, how they fought for the liberation, and in fighting the liberation, one of the arguments is that now it's worse for them now. You know?
Because they're on their own.
Now they're on their own. They were cut off from, like, the rest of the world. Like, they're... You know, kind of, like, things went bad for them. So you have all these empty, huge haciendas all over the island. Just, like...
Oh, leftovers.
Yeah, mansions just deteriorating. It's kind of crazy.
Damn. That's how I felt when the first time I went to Detroit. Like, a few years after the whole 2008 thing. So, like, there was still a bunch of leftover empty lots and houses, and it's just like, damn.
Yeah.
It's like, this is not America.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's enough about my past. How about yours, man?
What do you want to know? You already saw my portrait behind me.
Yeah, dude. Thanks, by the way. Just huge shout out, dude. He hooked me up with this amazing portrait. I'll describe it to you. It's this cool black and white artwork on this large canvas. It's probably about 2 feet by, what is that, four? No, eight?
I didn't measure it.
8 inches by like about 2 feet or something. 2013. Who's it by?
His name is Alvaro Marquez.
Alvaro Marquez. It's dope as hell. It's got a long beard. I'll post that shit on my socials.
Basically, the beard is like turning into tentacles because it's so long.
Yeah.
And then the face is pretty weathered, and he's got an LA hat.
Yeah. So he's like,
if you've ever seen Memo, that looks like you.
So thanks very much, man. That was a nice surprise, man.
Yeah. So, okay, let's go back to LA Taco Pues. So you know, with the support of your friends and like encouragement, decide that, you know what, yes, I should be a food eater for social media.
Yeah.
When you started this, were you thinking, I'm going to call myself a foodie? Am I be like, are you changing?
Like, yeah. Like, you know what, fuck it. Let's see what happens.
So you were like, that was your...
Yeah.
Your understanding that you're going to be a foodie.
Yeah.
And you were okay with calling yourself that?
Well, tying into the two things of like the stories previously about how I got into Berkeley is that like, I was like, well, fuck it. I'm already using this time to do this anyways. Fuck it. What do I have to lose?
Yeah.
You know? So like, fuck it. Let me change my name.
I'll
start posting it. Let's see where this goes. And now I'm a fucking in LA Taco and I'm doing this for LA Taco.
Yeah.
It's opening up other opportunities. And literally it's like I followed this one branch and it just keeps branching out. It just keeps branching out to different things. Now,
dang.
Learning how to do video and editing. And
so, that's some of the stuff that I was going to, like, talk about. So, you met up with Daniel. Y'all connected, again, you know, after him being gone and both of y'all going to school. And he told you about LA Taco because he was a part of it and he brought you on to do kind of like...
Well, I kind of already knew about LA Taco.
How? Yeah. What was your first, like, run?
Through Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Through Instagram and through Facebook. And, like, I kind of always, like... had an eye out for like these kind of things, you know. It's kind of,
you follow pages like that.
Yeah, I've always kind of like try to keep an ear on like the stuff that's not getting out there, you know, what's going on over here, what's going on over there. So I'd come across LA Taco, especially because I like tacos and I'm always googling LA tacos, so
see what pops up.
Yeah, so when I heard that he was going to be the chief editor, I was like, no shit. I was like, that's dope. So I told him, I was like, I'm doing this over here. And at some point he was like, so I told him, like, I was doing this over here. And I was like, hey, I could probably help LA Taco Bell too. Like, he had been saying, like, I guess they need help with some of the stuff that they don't have enough staff and all that stuff. So I offered. And he's like, yeah, cool. So he got me on the IG. And then I started contributing.
I remember that because I was like, where the fuck is Memo?
Yeah.
Like, what is their Instagram video on? I'm there now.
So I sent a letter to him. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, cause I know I had been following. I had become a member. I was a member before I was
nice. Of team. So was I.
Yeah. And I was like, I knew about this program. And I'm like, okay. And I kind of knew the inside scoop because I was asking him, like, what's going on over here? What's going on with this? Like, you should do this. You should do that. And he's like, well, we don't have a lot of people and stuff. So I sent the letter. Like, fuck it. As I go around, take pictures of a lot of these places that you guys are posting about anyways, I can also talk to the owners and kind of help build out the membership program. And Alex responded, like, dude, this made my night. Like, this is exactly the kind of help I need.
Yeah, you're offering to do that.
Because I told him, I'm like, I understand you're trying to build LA Taco, and, like, you know, there's money ain't there. I'm like, I know what it's like to try to build something. I've already built my own business. I've built a couple, actually.
That's what I was going to say, too. Yeah. A lot of what you do now isn't so different from what you do for a living, yeah. except you swapped out whatever it is you do for a living, and then you swap that out for tacos.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's still the same thing. I'm talking to people, building relationships, trying things out, building resources.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's straight up like just like business shit. Mm-hmm. You're networking. You're out there making names.
I'm building this network, basically. Yeah. So, yeah. And Alex was like, yeah, that's exactly what I need. And he's like, yeah, like you're perfect. So that's what I've been doing. I've been just kind of going, trying tacos, trying to build these relationships.
Yeah.
Trying to do things.
No, dude, that came across like from your first video. The way you just like, you know, doing the selfie video, talking into the camera, explaining what you're doing, where you're going, what you're going to eat. And then I see you talking to the staff and everybody there. I was like, dang, that's not like a skill they teach you. You learn that over years.
What do you mean? Like just talking
just to... Just being like, I was going to say in Spanish, but being very friendly, you know, and very conversational and very welcoming to anybody in any kind of situation or in space you are in. But because sometimes I'm able to do this sometimes when I want to. If you're in food places, then it's a lot easier because it's a relaxed environment.
Yeah.
And you love the food and you want to, like, you genuinely want to learn more about it and what they're doing and who they are. So it comes across like super, at least for me, it came across super fast. It's like, damn, this dude is just like, he has this. Like, that's your skill. Well, one of your skills, the people skills, right?
Yeah, the people skills, I think. I've gone from, I think that's, in a nutshell, you think you got it, yeah, the people skills. I've had, I think, about 22 different jobs, right?
In my persona. A lot of them seem like service work, so.
Service work from the service side. I kind of know what it's like when people talk to you and you're on the other side of the counter.
You didn't put enough cheese on my taco.
Yeah, you know, stupid shit like that. Or even like the tone, you know, they have a tone, you know, like I don't think if people realize like what I was asking nicely, I was saying I talked to them fine, you know, and I was like, but you got that tone and people don't understand, dude. Like, and I don't, you know, I'm conscious of that. When I talk to them, like peeps.
You feel that energy. You know? Yeah.
I talk to them like peeps and so we're cool. So I can talk to them about anything versus like those people, you know, like. May I please have this? And that, does this come with that or that? You know? Well, okay. But make sure you do it like this, okay? I don't want any of that, okay? It's like this tone, dude. It's like, it's
let me watch you like leaning over the counter as I like, follow my instructions.
I said. I'm like, I know. Like, chill, bitch.
That teaches you a lot of patience.
Yeah. So I think having a lot in a lot of different professions with a lot of different types of people, and then gone from like, you know, growing up with people in the hood to like growing up with people in the fucking like race country over there to like going to school in the hood and going to school in like a small little Catholic school that was basically all Latinos in Culver City. It was all Latinos. To Loyola was more mixed, you know, diverse.
Wait, how is it that it was like majority of folks who were in school with all Latinos in Culver City?
The St. Jerome Magella was like all Latinos.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because it was Catholic?
It's Catholic, yeah. Yeah, cool. That's true. You go to like all the Catholic schools on the west side and the south side. I mean, like, you could be Santa Monica. Those things will have the majority of Latinos are going to that Catholic school, dude. Latinos, yeah.
That makes sense, yeah.
So, anyways, yeah. I have this diverse background speaking to a lot of different types of people, so I think that helps. Working with them, going to school with them.
Dealing with them sometimes, yeah.
Dealing with them, you know, like all those different... White ladies becoming famous on, you know, the internet. Like, what is it? Like the Park Patrol Patty and like, you know, like those are all like the
your ones worst. Calling the cops. Yeah. Yeah.
Like having to deal with people like that all the time, especially in my industry too. Like as a landscape contractor, like fuck, man, the way you talk to my guys and like to talk to me, and it's like, you know, it's like I've blown off a lot of like clients and relationships that way. So just, I'm like, you know, fuck you guys, we don't need this, like. It's a lot of litigation.
So, what were you feeling after, like, you know, doing those first posts? You talked to Alex, who's the person behind LA Taco for the last 10 plus years. Daniel, probably Galindo as well, Tocayo.
Yeah.
What were you thinking, like, you know, going into the future? You were just going to, like, all right, these are the ideas I suggested to y'all. Let's start making them happen? Or did you start seeing things differently now that you were, like, on the ground?
I don't know, man. I know it's one thing that bugged Daniel was that I was very enthusiastic about being part of LA Taco.
Mm.
You know, I feel like I kind of came in with a lot of energy.
I felt that. I mean, shit. You're genuinely like, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
You know? We're going to get to eat food.
Yeah. I'm very like that, dude. I love this shit, dude. Like, it's my, you know, my passion, my hobby.
You know, in a way, that's its own, like, developed skill. Because I know I can turn that energy on, but, man, I'm like, I don't want to.
Don't give away.
It's, like, exhausting.
I see all your posts on Twitter. Half of them are like, I'm getting old.
It's a meme of me, like, sleeping at 10 a.m. Yeah. But it's a skill because, yeah, not everybody can just, you know, be super high energy on camera. And it honestly, like, you look weird when you do the videos.
I look weird?
Yeah, because you're just, like, with the phone up and you're looking at it.
Oh, yeah.
It's not in a natural, like,
yeah,
sight to see.
Yeah.
I don't care how, like.
I wish we had, like, a camera crew, but, like, you know.
The norm it looks.
I mean, yeah, like, the majority of those videos are spare of the moment.
It is.
I wasn't planning it. I showed up somewhere. I'm like, fuck, they got this. Let's make a
video.
So,
one thing Memo started doing when he jumped on board and he started doing more engagement and partnership development is, like he said, he would go eat somewhere. And his formula is he goes to eat somewhere. He starts recording video. He takes photos of the food, before the food, ordering the food, as you get the food, eating the food, after the food, like, yeah, every step of the process. And then sometimes you would talk to the folks actually there, you know, behind the kitchen or the owner, mm-hmm, you know, to tell you a little bit about the space and why they're part of the LA Taco membership program. So for me, when I saw that and I saw you, like, that was your formula, I told you, you remind me of Bill Oakley.
Oh, that's right.
So Bill Oakley was Simpsons, like, back in the good days, executive producer. And much like Memo, he decided to take his skills for food eating and put them on camera for everybody to see. So he did, like, fast food reviews in under a minute for Instagram. Yeah,
they're pretty fun, too.
So, you know, he goes in quick, like, boom, I'm here at Jack in the Box. I'm going to try this new thing they have on menu. Yeah. Here's me unwrapping it. Here's me eating it. Here's me chewing it. Here's me telling you what I think, and then wrapping it up.
Yeah.
So you got really good at that because of you were doing that just, like, almost every week, no?
Yeah, for a little while. Yeah, it was like.
And having no, like, previous, like, video editing experience.
Well, the thing that, yeah, no previous video. What happened was. You know, Galindo was kind of, like, handling IG, and him and Caesar were handling, like, IG at that time. And he's like, well, this IGTV just came out. We don't know what the
fuck to do with it. Oh, yeah, it was becoming a thing, yeah.
Yeah, like, we don't know what the fuck to do with it. He's like, look, post. No, but
none of us wanted to be on camera.
Yeah, nobody wanted to be on camera. I was like, somebody has to fucking do this. Somebody has to talk to some of these people. So, like, all right, fuck it, I don't care. So, yeah, he's like, stories, IG stories, and, like, videos all day. You all day. Whatever the fuck you want. Just,
you're, like, you're doing great, man. Yeah. Keep going. You just don't stop.
Like, yeah, and then we'll handle the post. I'm like, cool. Yeah, no worries. So, but he's like, yeah, like, let's get some videos done. So I'm like, all right. So I learned how to make videos. On my phone.
Yeah. And on, like, your iPad, as you told me how you edit.
Yeah. Found this sweet program, and I learned how to use it, and watch a bunch of YouTube videos on
there. They work, man. Honestly, yeah. For, like, you know, you just doing this as you're going along and learning it, and, like, you know, developing your style for it. They're genuinely just, like, you're excited that you get to try this place. You eat it, you like it, and then you get to, you know, talk to the owner about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's great for the places too. I mean. Yeah,
that's the trade-off. You know, they get, you know, the attention out there, and you're out there getting to work with them.
Yeah.
And they get to work with LA Taco. So, in terms of, like, all the food you've eaten, is there something that, like, just sticks out for you? Where it's like, damn, I remember that meal.
You know, it's funny because
You can go to a place and have it once and it's delicious, and then you can go back and have it again and it's not as delicious as you remembered. Mm-hmm. You know, that happens a lot. And you wonder why. But I've come to the recent conclusion that's seasonal, the vegetables.
Yeah, I would say so.
But the meal that...
doesn't have to be just one. Maybe the most recent one.
Like bees, cochinito, and ceviche, like bitaquerias. Machin's pork belly taco, to me, kills it. Evil Cooks, almost like that hatch chile taco he made was fucking great. That was great. That hatch chile taco is probably the only taco I've ever had that gave you like a slap on the first bite. Yeah. Like, it was just like, wow. Everybody loved that thing.
Not everybody had to try it.
Only like 100 or 200 people tried it.
That's a rare taco.
Yeah, it's a rare taco. You'll never have it again. That's one of the things I love about too. But LA Taco, I get to do all these things. And I get to have like these rare tacos, dude. Machin was making them for Northgate, you know. Although make something for this weekend. Like, Evil Cooks, we're going to leave right now. He's making a special taco for LA Taco Movies right now.
In case you haven't caught on, this is turning into like a huge LA Taco, pro LA Taco follow, support, become a member.
Oh, is it? Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm just passionate about it, dude. Like, it's honestly like...
I hope, at least by somebody after listening at the end, they're like, damn, if anything, I'm going to do it because I like Memo now.
Well, it's like, you know, like, how do you go wrong with the taco style? And here you have a publication that, like,
put ketchup on the forefront.
Okay, we're thinking fuck up a taco. But anyways, from there I moved on to doing writing now. Like,
yeah, you've written a few pieces as well.
Yeah, Javier, like, very encouraging about that.
Supporting as an editor, yeah.
Very supporting. So I've got, you know, I've run a couple pieces, you know, simple stuff. Mango Sticky Rice, which is great, by the way. Brothers Cousins on the West Side. So I'm working on a couple other pieces. But,
yeah. Nice.
So, and then with Alex, now I'm curating events, you know?
Yeah. So we can get into that a little bit, but I was going to like ask you about Trips Burgers. Cause I think more than anything, you have had this journey with them as they've grown as a food.
I think it was one of the first pop-up. Yeah. It was one like
to tell people what is Trips Burgers.
Trips Burgers is Mark Tripp, and he does smash burgers as a pop-up. All he has is a little griddle, a couple tables.
Tent,
that's it. And a big old orange bucket full of chips that people forget about. But his smash burgers are great. He uses prime meat. He uses chuck, sirloin, little bacon, no seasonings, just good meat. And he uses the Martin's potato rolls. Anyways, Alexis was like, hey, Memo, you got to come try Trips Burgers. I'm like, okay. He's like, dude, try him and make a video for this guy. I'm like, all right, let's go see. So he takes the metro to my place. I pick him up with my kids, and we go try Trips Burgers. He's in Venice on Rose. And,
Or was.
Was. Yeah. When he was that first time when I had him. This was back like, I want to say March. It was
earlier in the year, yeah.
April. Almost like as soon as I started with LA Taco. March or April. And had him made a video. Yeah. Till this day, Mark will always see me and always be like, dude, I owe it all to you, man. Since then, he's been, like, I did a write-up for him too. And then from there, he's been on the Burger Show. But I think he got the Burger Show before I did the write-up. But after the video, for sure. But he just says that, like, he's been blowing up uncontrollably. Good for him. So it's cool. You know, it's like somebody who started with me, one of the first people I got to highlight. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
That's why I brought it up. Because he credits you with putting him over the top.
Yeah.
I'm like, I was out here doing my thing.
I'm flattered. I don't know if, I think his burgers speak for themselves.
They do. It's all him.
I tell him, I'm like, you know what? The only thing I did was find you first. Honestly, whoever else would have found you, somebody would have found you.
It was a matter of time.
It was a matter of time.
That's how the food game works.
Yeah. But he when he was going to do the Burger Show, he sends me a text and he's like, you'll always be my first.
So with Trips, aside from, you know, both kind of having like this parallel journey with each other, of your growth in like the social media food game, now you're starting to see like the other end of it with the mango sticky rice pop-up folks, yeah, who were popping up, same, you know, similar setup with tables, chairs, tent, whatnot. Where he was doing it, Trips was doing it before, yeah, right, on the same block. So tell people what's been going on.
So first it was a taquero on that block, and you know, tacos were good.
When would they set up?
They start setting up like at 4.
No, like when? Like how many days? Which days?
Oh, like every day.
Oh wow, like every taquero, night. So every night.
So this started a couple years ago. Up to a couple years ago, you didn't see any taqueros on the west side, and after a couple years, you start seeing this one on Palma de Sepulveda. He was probably one of the first. Actually, the ones on Lincoln were the ones of the first. And then Lincoln, and then Centinela, and then Sautel, Brothers Cousins. These guys, now you have another one on Pico and National. Now you have taqueros everywhere. You know, before it was just a lunch truck stop in Venice, like by Smart and Final.
And in the daytime.
Yeah, in the daytime, yeah. Or you had Tacos Tamix to the lonchera down on Venice and Sepulveda. By your work. Anyways, where was I going with this?
Sticky rice.
Oh, yeah. So, the taqueros were the first. Then Mark started popping up there. Then Mark Tripp from Tripp's Burgers. And then one day I'm driving by and I see mango sticky rice. I'm like, what the fuck is this? So, I was like, pulled over. And I went up there and I tried it and it was delicious. They make like a coconut cream base and like a coconut, like a syrup topping on top of the a glaze, no sugar, it's all like vegan, no milk, on rice, and they use black rice too. Fucking delicious, dude. So good. Anyways, I posted on my Instagram, and Javier, being the supporting, encouraging guy he is, and seeing a scoop, you know, it's like, hey, write about those fools. Like, nobody's doing that shit.
You're not down, fool.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, cool. I wrote something up real quick and then got it published. And, yeah, they've been doing well, you know. They're growing. They're just selling a lot now.
And then what happened?
And they got shut down by the fucking Los Angeles City Inspectors.
Yep.
But they were doing that everywhere for, like, that week.
Like, that everywhere as in?
Like, they went to Boyle Heights. They did it in Boyle Heights. They went to Highland Park.
You didn't tell me that.
Yeah, they were doing it, like, for, like, that one week, they went around all the city.
It's like, shit, y'all, they're looking at us. We got to do our job.
Yeah, basically.
Because you started talking about this on the LA Taco Slack channel, and then we all just, like, chimed in and, like, what our fucking conspiracy theory was about what was going on. But I think generally we were all along the same page of what's going on with legalized street vending and like them being harassed and all this other stuff and asking questions about what's going on.
I think all they want is to get all these. A lot of these pop ups are popping up without paying any money, and the city.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The city wants their money.
For the city, everybody wants their fucking cut.
Yeah.
And so, then
honestly, I think that's all it is.
We were also like touching on the conversation that. Because we were trying to figure out why now, why them, why is this going on? And me and other folks were just kind of like entertaining the idea that, okay, maybe like other local restaurants where they're hating and they were calling the cops on them or like pointing the finger at them.
I mean, it's all speculation. You don't really know. I mean, you can speculate a lot of things. Yeah, you know, but
I've seen that happen too. So that's why it was my first
reaction. Not that it's unreasonable reaction. To guess that, but. I don't know. The fact that, like, it's, I think that argument is deflated when you start hearing that it's happening the next day in another city.
Yeah.
And then you start hearing that it's happening somewhere else in the city. Now you're like, okay, they're just
there's a pattern.
They're doing this sweep.
It's not an isolated one. Yeah. Everybody just got caught up.
Because everybody's back now. It took a couple weeks. Like, they scared everybody away for, like, a couple weeks, but.
Yeah. It's how it works.
Yeah. But now everybody's back. They're all doing their thing again. So,
you know, it happens, but it's something that I think, you know, everybody, it's a risk if you get, like, swept up.
Yeah, but I think I saw some videos where, like, they were literally throwing people's food away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they've always done that.
That's just fucked up.
They've always done that. It's like, we gotta, like, and you can't yell at them because the workers, you know, they got their vests and they're just following whoever told them to do.
Yeah.
To follow through.
It's fucked up.
So everybody, like, takes it on them because they're right there in person.
Yep.
So it happens. But with the videos and all the eating, and having all the fun on camera, which I've gotten to participate in a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, I put you there a couple of times. I'm like, hey, you do it this time.
What is something folks maybe are not seeing that's happening behind the cameras?
I'm getting fat.
So I mean, obviously, right? You started eating.
You ever seen those girls on the dating apps? You know, like the thicker they are, the higher the camera angle is. You'll see my camera angles getting higher.
The beard getting longer. It's the reason why I have a goatee. It's distracting. It draws your attention to the face. But no, I mean, like, seriously, how has that been changing you? Obviously, physically is part of it.
Yeah.
Because you're eating so much more. And yeah. It's not to say that, you know, you're obviously you don't eat lunch or things like that. You're eating every day. But now you're eating foods that are a lot more heavier, flavorful.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to if you were going about your normal day, you'd be like, you know, I'll do this for breakfast, do something light for lunch, salad, and maybe meat for dinner.
I don't know.
Now you're like, let me do 6 tacos here, and then at dinner I'll do 2 sandwiches over there.
Not always like that.
It's been
times,
enough.
Yeah, there's times where it's been like that, and but I mean, it's not too far from the diet I had already, like all the time. But
okay,
you know, like. I still have, like, juices. I always have juice.
Mm.
So, like, a fresh vegetable juice. And get it either from, like, Whole Foods or the Venice Bakery has, like, the good one with nopal.
All the ones they make on the spot, yeah.
Yeah, it's so like, or Jamba Juice, or not Jamba Juice, what's the other one? Robex.
Robex.
Yeah, so I'm always getting, like, they have, like, fresh juices. So I always get, like, a fresh juice. So every day I try to have a fresh juice. And then I'll have, like, one big meal, which is what you'll see on the...
Whatever it is you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. And then usually I try not to eat dinner or anything, but you know, usually I'm high and I'm eating pastries or something.
They have something sweet at home.
Yeah, I already killed all the Halloween candy, dude.
Dang,
they had a whole fucking pumpkin, like plastic pumpkin, full of it. It's gone.
It's like one little tiny bit.
Yeah, but I suspect I'm not the only one. I think the kids were getting into it
too. We still have some candy left over. I tried to give it all away, but I kept some of it. So. Has that also made a difference in terms of, like the clothes you're wearing? Did you have to like go and size up? Are you still fluctuating?
I just threw away a bag of t-shirts that don't fit no more. I'm not lying. I left like some of the cool ones for my son. See if he wants them.
He'll grow into
that shit. Yeah, and I got rid of a bunch of other ones. I put them in the Goodwill bin. But yeah, dude, yeah, it's definitely changed.
It's changed you.
Yeah. Whatever. Like mentally though, like seriously, this has probably been like one of my good years.
Hmm.
You know, like just overall everything. Like I went from like just being a workaholic to like nothing but work, to just saying fuck that, make some time for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Self care.
Yeah. To like now a hobby, you know, making a hobby, and then finding an opportunity with LA Taco and
yeah.
And then just enjoying it. Like, honestly, like, I don't see what I do with LA Taco. I mean, there's a lot of work that's involved, but...
Are you getting better at it? You know, like, the rotation of things.
Yeah, there's a lot of stress to some things that you do, but overall, like, I'm really just fucking enjoying our time. Yeah.
So, since you mentioned that stress, let's go to Tropicalia.
Oh, my God.
Like, a few weeks ago.
That was the stress, yeah.
So, LA Taco... linked up with Golden Voice, and Memo was made responsible for leading the efforts in terms of getting LA Taco friendly or supportive vendors through Tropicalia to vend there. So what was that like?
That was a whole new experience for me. Yeah, I just did not know what the hell I was getting into. But, like, I'm not one to shy away from new experiences.
And you've done a little bit of that before.
I had done event planning.
Yeah.
But event curation and working with these taqueros, any of these taqueros in L.A., never done that before.
Hmm.
Usually, you know.
So many of them.
Yeah, because usually, you know, most of these taqueros, they're not caterers, per se, you know. Some of them are, but some of them aren't. And they're, you know, they're like, they can make you a good taco, but administratively, organizationally, you know, they're
Behind the doors.
Yeah.
Behind the taco, rather.
Yeah, you don't know how the, you know, how versed they are and like the different. I mean, like, for example, you know, working with Teddy, a couple times I had to call him and remind him what we were doing. He's so busy. He's got so much stuff going on, you know. You talk to these other taqueros, and some of them, like, they have it down. They have somebody, like a sister or somebody that handles the shit, helps them out.
Have a routine, yeah.
Yeah, so learning that was interesting. Trying to wrangle them down. It's like, they want these opportunities. Some of these want these opportunities, and, like, but, like, they're so busy. Like, the paperwork, getting the health permit form filled out.
All the stuff you got to do before.
Yeah, like, there's so much, like, just nitty-gritty shit, like
the bureaucracy of all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
there's a lot of bullshit behind there. Talking to the health inspector, getting that approved, making sure to how many outlets they need. You know, are they gonna need the sink? You know, what kind of storage are they gonna use? Shit like that.
I guess you're just telling me that it sounds very overwhelming really fast.
Yeah, so I had to learn about all these things. Like, oh fuck. You know, and then trying to, like, find them because they're busy. They're fucking making tacos half the time, and you're just like, they don't have the phone in front of them.
Nope.
You know? So trying to wrangle that shit down. That was stressful as fuck. Some of them, like, we had some folks, like, pull a lot of strings to reach me and ask to get in and then put them in, and then last minute we're like, oh, you know what? We got busy. Sorry. Thanks anyways. Motherfuckers, dude. Like, fees have been paid. Inspectors have been
mountains having moved.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, fuck, you know, we got to do this shit all over again. Like, it's like, to them, it's just like, But yeah. But I learned a lot, man. So now we're doing a lot. Now I'm working with a lot of sponsorships and trying to, like, help bring, you know, coordinate a lot of things that we do with sponsors for LA Taco.
So, I know you have a running list. I think you probably have it written down or on your phone or something, right? Of potential partners.
Yeah.
Can you share something about, like, what you got in store for folks? Not ruin it by saying names, but, like, what you're thinking.
As far as, like, new membership perks?
Folks to bring in terms of restaurants. Because that was just what you were doing for a solid minute, and then you got busy with, like, event
planning. Yeah, I got to get back on it. Okay, so we got some vegan options coming on board. I just have to go out there. Like,
that's a matter of doing it.
Yeah, like, they're down already. Like I could just put it up on the site, but, like, you know, like, I want to do a little justice. I want to go do it right. Do a little video for them, get them some promotion, thank you for that. You know, the way the membership works is it's all just kind of like a bartering system. You know, we all help each other out, we all support each other out, and we try to only pick the best partners for everybody to enjoy. So, anyways, I lost my track of thought. I think that beer and that.
So, with doing the foodie thing, you've also gotten to know other foodies, quote unquote foodies. I never liked that word.
No, I hated that word. No, it's like, whatever, I'm a foodie, fuck. Fuck my life.
No, you can't run away from it.
Yeah, I can't run away from it.
So what has it been like meeting other folks, I guess, in the trade?
I call it the foodieverse. And that's a trip. There's a lot going on.
We've had a moment where we were both like, we got food from a tray, and then the first thing we do is with our other free hand pull out the phone.
Oh yeah. Like a glitch in the matrix. We're both doing the exact same move, reaching for our phones.
No, I'm not gonna eat this first. I gotta take a picture of it before it gets.
Yeah, it was like the Spider-Man meme pointing at each other. Hey, what are you doing?
So, what has it been like in the foodieverse?
You know, these people are cool. They're all really cool. The people I've talked to are very friendly. They're very legit. They're very passionate about what they do. Hood Footy, Hangry Writer, Eat a Kitty, Memo's Munchies.
Yeah, your other memo.
Alcavice, yeah, the other memo. Eat it memo. Forgive me if I forget you guys. But anyways, yeah, they're all real cool folks. There's a lot of, like, foodies out there that, like, don't really, like, respond to anything. I don't know. Their following has been in question. Remember that effing fake shit on there?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was some effing fake shit on there. They're calling out fake foodies or buying fake followers and doing a disservice to
A lot of local mom and pops by charging them fees for.
Yeah, dude, it still trips me out about that.
So basically, what happens is that there's these followers. You know, you can buy followers, you can buy likes, and so there's this whole unproven, like, thing that people know is that some of these foodies have been caught charging different taqueros or, you know, restaurant owners fees for, like, so much for a post, so much for story.
Yeah, pay to play.
Pay to play. You know,
quid pro quo.
Exactly. And they're promising them a following and likes, but little do they know that these fools sometimes might be, like, charging them this much, and then some of that's going to pay for this so that they could get results. You know, since some of their accounts may not be
all legit. They're getting paid. They're getting played.
Exactly.
The dark side of the foodieverse.
So, anyways, somebody was trying to call them out. That account got canceled. Who knows what. But
it's out there. Enough for somebody to be mad enough to be like, I'm going to dedicate a part of my life to trying to expose other people.
To expose the fakes.
That's a lot of energy.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, just unfollow them, ignore them.
Yeah, but it's hard to say who's fake or not. Like, there's some people that have hundreds of thousands of followers and they're all legit.
Yeah.
And then there's some people that have like 25,000 followers and half of them are fake.
It's an evolving conversation in almost any space and fandom you can think of what the value of social media followers is in today. With
especially if they're monetizing it.
If it's part of your income, yeah. So... It's a trip because that's a conversation I've had in other places too, different topics and content, but essentially the same conversations of well, what's the equivalent of like if I invest this much money and people power and hours, and what I get in return on investment for what I'm trying to do.
But just to be clear, most of the people I mentioned are legit. They're pretty cool people. Like they've worked hard. And a lot of them like really love what they do, which is fun. So when, they're not really competitive. If at times I've been invited to like big old taco eating sessions at Teddy's Red Tacos with like half of them. And
you all
fun.
Congregate.
Yeah, we all congregate and I take a picture of all of them taking pictures of the same plate and put them on blast.
That's so meta.
Yeah. But it's fun. They're all cool, man. They're all legit. Everybody just like enjoys that there's a passion for it. And I think that's what makes a lot of what I do with the Foodieverse fun.
Knowing
these other people love doing that and that they're out there. And then sometimes you're running into them at these same places. It's just funny.
It's a Spider-Man meme again.
Yeah, exactly. But it's really cool, man. I've had a blast getting to know a lot of these folks.
It just trips me out. I don't know if you like have any moments of like you see this and I'm just like, man, when... I'm old enough to remember that wasn't a thing, and now it is.
Right.
So I trip on it sometimes. It's like, dang, man.
Some of them take it a little more seriously. Some of them really love themselves on camera. Some of them really are just goofballs, and some of them have a whole formula down, which works for them, which is great. I mean, all power to them. I don't like to hate on what anybody does. Nah. This is what you want to do, this is how you want to portray yourself.
Do your
yourself.
Thing. You're out there. Yeah.
And that's your thing, man. All I can do is, like, applaud it and approve it. Like, because not a lot of people have the balls to try something like that.
Nope.
You know, so when people hate, it's like, yeah, fuck them too.
Happens.
Yeah, it happens. I had a troll the other day, and it was fantastic.
What were they saying?
It was about Tropicalia Fest.
That it sucked?
Oh, where's Vira Gonzalez? Where's Tacos El Venado? Where's Mariscos Jalisco? Where is this? This list sucks. I'm like, you read it, dude. Thanks, man. And I really appreciate it. You're my first troll ever. You legitimize me.
Like, this isn't authentic. You don't have these other places that I like and I'm biased toward.
I'm like, angry. You do the lick where...
Angry comment on the internet.
Yeah. Like, all right, fool. Chill out, man.
So, I guess looking into 2019 and how you started this journey early in the year, what are you looking toward next year, 2020? Like, obviously, you're still going to keep doing this.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully, yeah. Don't run into any problems. But I felt like this year was a lot of new for everybody. All of us, we've gone through some major changes, and a lot of it's still the same in some ways.
At LA Taco, yeah.
At LA Taco.
I feel like next year we're just gonna like finally get some traction. I think this year we built the tracks, and next year we're gonna start rolling on them. And I think by third year we're gonna be like full speed ahead. Hopefully, that's the plan.
Nice.
That's the plan.
No, you're setting goals.
Everything I do for myself for El Dragón, it's really just to help myself get out there so that building relationships with people becomes easier for LA Taco. That's my whole deal. So, yeah, that's why I like to put myself out there too.
And then with your Instagram?
Yeah, well, that's what I meant with my Instagram.
No, like, what are you looking into, like, next year?
Oh, Instagram's just fun. I mean, I don't really, you know, at first I took it a little seriously, to be honest with you. Like, I played with a couple things that, like, other foodies are doing and, you know, like, doing selfies or stories and stuff like that. Oh, that's just fun sometimes.
Mixing up the format, yeah.
Yeah, mixing up the format, seeing what kind of works, what doesn't work. Seeing people's reactions to that shit. All my, like, real friends and shit will always message me shit. I'm like, ah, fuck, all right. They'll always, like, send me little, like, the little emoji with the eyes, the hard eyes.
Ooh.
Like, oh, you look cute. Like, fuck you guys.
Just egging you on a little bit, like, to humble you.
Yeah.
This shit.
That's but with cool. that, just growing, you know, just having more fun with that, just posting more food.
Yeah, we definitely had a lot of fun at Tropicalia.
Yeah.
And part of it was because of you and the work you did to get us there. So that's part of the reason why I give you the frame and the art, you know, appreciate all the, what you've done so far and been able to make the brand grow. And with that, not only you talking about the opportunities you've been getting, but everybody else as well. Cause now, it's kind of like a rising tides kind of thing. Everybody's floating up at the same time.
It's a team, dude. So if one of us does well, everybody should benefit from that.
Yeah.
A little bit. And I think we've all been killing it in different ways.
Not me. I just been stuck at work.
Yeah, what the fuck, dude? Like, you haven't been writing. What the hell, dude? All you do is talk shit on the Slack now.
He's mad. He's mad about his job again. But that's part of the reason why I didn't record anything between September and now we are in October 23rd today recording. 2 months. Anyways, life happens. I'm still here. I'm not going to stop.
How you been with all the tacos?
Dude, I've been mostly because I
you've been nice and round.
Yeah, that job has me sitting 8 hours a day, and then my commute is 2 hours a day, so I'm just sitting 10 plus hours sometimes. And I'm just like,
do you get up and do like twists and like, you know,
I do that at night actually. I do some light yoga before I go to sleep.
You gotta do that, man. Now we get older, man. It's like, fuck.
Yeah.
I have to do that like in the morning. In the evenings, I have to like touch my toes. Every fucking day, I have to touch my toes.
Yeah. Some, you know, gotta be proactive about it because it's all downhill from here.
Cool, man.
Yeah. Now it's like 10 a.m., like 10 p.m., and I'm like, oh, time to go to sleep.
For real. We went out the other night. Fuck.
That's where you go out early.
Yeah, like 10 p.m. We took a shot and I was sleepy as fuck. I'm like, let's go home.
You got nothing to prove. Let's just go home. We had a good time. Cool. Well, are there any shout outs? Anybody you want to give a mention to?
I don't know, man. I just, I would shout out everybody. Shit. I'll shout out Alex, everybody, LA Taco, you, my kids, my lady, Tamar. Our kids, the whole taco community in general. I mean, I feel very, honestly, like I feel very blessed this year to have been able to have been welcomed so well into the taco community. And when I mean the taco community, I mean everybody, including the, like, especially the taqueros, all the customers of taqueros, the fans of tacos.
People recognize you wearing the hat. You work for LA Taco?
Yeah, you're the taco dude. Yeah, I'm the taco dude.
Which, actually, we're going to go do this after.
Exactly.
Such a hard life.
Yeah, but everybody's been really cool as hell this year. I feel very blessed. So nice. Thanks and shout out to everybody.
So you can follow Memo on Instagram on el_dragon_de_los_angeles. It's pretty long. We have to spell it out like that. Obviously, I'll have it in the episode description linked. And then on Twitter, similarly,
Just ends with LA.
Yeah. Instead of Los Angeles. Underscore El Dragon, underscore De, underscore LA. So you got a nice chunk of Instagram followers, but you're working on that follower count on Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter, just I've had it for years. I signed up, and then I never used it until this year. And,
it's mostly just me cursing out Peloton.
Yeah, that's what I see. Like, Ava, what you got a good spin cycle?
Trying to watch Hulu. Fucking Peloton. Every other commercial is from fucking Peloton.
Peloton, by the way, is the exercise bike company.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at one right now, right next to your desk.
That's not a Peloton. That's like
Sunny Bike.
Something generic. Yeah. Which is actually not mine. Marisol got it. But a lot of angry tweets as of late. So hopefully that changes next year.
Going into the angry old man on Twitter.
It's just a sourpuss all around. But thanks again, Memo, for coming through, working with the punches. Even though I told you we're recording Espacio, and you got to see it, but the schedules didn't line up. And then coming through to my house and kicking it.
That's cool, man. Thanks for having me here, dude. Thank you for that portrait. That was fucking dope as hell.
Yeah, dude. That was anytime. I have more than enough art to give, so.
Don't downplay, man. That's a nice piece. That is dope. So let's go into my front door.
Nice. Yeah. All right. So this has been Orale Bo Heights. See y'all next time.
Later.
How are you going to see me? This is a podcast.
Listen to me next time.
Listen to me next time. Bye.
Hear my voice.